Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with 15 Democratic U.S. senators signing on to a hardline bill that would scuttle the initiative underway with Iran to curb its nuclear program. Max Blumenthal, an award-winning investigative journalist and author of the new book, Goliath, Life and Loathing in Greater Israel, joins us to analyze the influence of Israel in determining U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East and the lack of an anti-war lobby in Washington to counterbalance the hawks on Capitol Hill bent on closing the door on Obama's tentative moves towards peace. Then we will speak with Thomas Ferguson, a professor of political science at the University of Massachusetts and a contributing editor to The Nation. We will discuss a new poll from the left-leaning public policy polling that indicates Republicans might pay a price for cutting unemployment benefits on December the 28th, since voters overwhelmingly support extending benefits, with a majority of fair-minded Americans apparently understanding the unemployed want to work and should not be punished for the economic downturn caused by Wall Street. Then finally, we'll look into the possibility that a new threat of war from North Korea is likely to erupt soon as the new young leader, Kim Jong-un, who has just executed his uncle, the number two in the regime, moves to assert his dynastic rule over the impoverished, nuclear-armed and militarized failed state. Sung Yoon Lee, a professor of international affairs at the Fletcher School of International Diplomacy at Tufts University, joins us to discuss a new round of nuclear brinksmanship looming on the Korean Peninsula. And joining us now is Max Blumenthal, an award-winning investigative journalist, documentary filmmaker, columnist, media commentator, and the New York Times bestselling author of Republican Gomorrah, Inside the Movement That Shattered the Party. His new book just out is Goliath, Life and Loathing in Greater Israel. Welcome to Background Briefing, Max Blumenthal.
Great to be on with you, Ian.
And we just learned today that 15 Democratic senators have signed on to a Republican bill that has 19 Republican co-sponsors. Oh, I suppose it's a Senate bill that's taking a very hard line, levying new sanctions on Iran unless the Iranian leaders agree to abandon all uranium enrichment. The Secretary of State has warned that this will scatter the deal, as has Mohammed El-Baradei, the former head of the International Atomic Energy Agency. And Iran's Foreign Minister Javad Zarif has also said that if the Senate moves forward on this bill, the deal that they're now negotiating would be dead. So what's your understanding, Max Blumenthal, of why these Democratic senators are taking this stance?
They're taking this stance because they are responding to the interests and concerns of wealthy donors affiliated with AIPAC, the American-Israel Policy Action Conference, which is the largest and most powerful arm of the pro-Israel lobby. It acts on behalf of the Israeli government. It is now acting on behalf of the government of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who has been agitating for a U.S. attack on Iran since he came into office in 2009, mainly because Israel doesn't have the military capacity to carry out such an attack and doesn't have the political cover to do so. And he's even attempted to unseat President Barack Obama through the millions of Sheldon Adelson, who is one of Netanyahu's key funders, also one of the key funders of AIPAC, and was the top funder of Mitt Romney when he attempted to challenge Barack Obama for the presidency. Barbara Boxer, the senator from California, even wrote a letter accusing Netanyahu of attempting to interfere in American politics. Having failed to overthrow Barack Obama, Netanyahu has had to pay the price of a historic deal between Iran and the U.S. on rapprochement over Iran's nuclear program, which Israeli intelligence estimates cannot even confirm has a weaponized capacity. So Netanyahu and his government are working through AIPAC, through their cutouts in Washington, to scuttle this deal. And they are working through Senator Robert Menendez, the Democrat who is the chief tool of AIPAC, the New Jersey Democratic senator. He's received the fourth largest amount of funding from AIPAC. And they're working through him rather than Mark Kirk, who is the chief Republican tool, the senator from Illinois of AIPAC, because this is a Democratic going to have to be a Democratic initiative. They have 15 senators. All of them are major recipients of AIPAC, or very dependent on AIPAC-affiliated donors for their careers, and many of them operate in hold seats in swing states. So they're always in a perilous position, and they need this money. And the deal is much more severe than you characterized it in the beginning, because it will require the U.S. Sorry, the bill, this resolution in the Senate, will require the U.S. to back up any Israeli military assault on Iran. It will lock the U.S. into attacking Iran if Israel strikes. So it's basically a call for war. It's not just a call for scuttling the deal. It's a call for war.
Well, indeed, that is apparently what senior Obama administration officials are saying. Quoting them, it's far more likely that we'll be left with only the military option regarding Iran. You're saying it's actually in the bill itself, locking in the military option.
Let me. The bill is called the Nuclear Weapons Free Act, Iran Act of 2013. They can't call it the Nuclear Weapons Free Act of 2013 because Iran doesn't have nuclear weapons, but the state of Israel has 250 nuclear-tipped warheads and second strike capacity through Dolphin-class submarines provided to it by Germany as part of Germany's Holocaust reparations. Those submarines have launching tubes that are specially retrofitted to allow Israel to fire nuclear weapons from the Red Sea. The new resolution that we're talking about would completely violate the deal that was cut in Geneva between Washington and Tehran. And it would set up a scenario in which hardliners would be empowered in Iran again. Ahmadinejad's camp would be empowered, which is actually the wet dream of Israel and AIPAC. AIPAC has consistently supported Ahmadinejad when he's run for president. They've even issued letters along with other pro-Israel hardliners like Daniel Pipes declaring that Ahmadinejad would be a better figure to have in power than someone like Rouhani, because both are going to pursue a nuclear program, but Ahmadinejad's easier to demonize in the media, and therefore it's easier to get sanctions against him. But the bill also has language in it, and you can look up the language that calls for the U.S. to support Israeli, quote-unquote, military action and legitimate self-defense against Iran's nuclear weapons program. It declares that the U.S. should stand with Israel and provide, in accordance with the law of the United States, blah, 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 to authorize the use of military force, military and economic support to the government of Israel in its defense of its territory, people, and existence. That language was introduced in February by Lindsey Graham in another resolution that has kind of been, and it's been packaged into this resolution. And it was actually passed already by the Senate in April. So they're basically ratifying another non-binding resolution that was passed into a much stronger and more consequential pro-war resolution.
Again, I'm speaking with Max Blumenthal, an award-winning investigative journalist, documentary filmmaker, columnist, media commentator, and the New York Times bestselling author of Republican Gomorrah, Inside the Movement That Shattered the Party. His latest book just out is Goliath, Life and Loathing in Greater Israel. So how much is this being driven by AIPAC and by extension Netanyahu in Israel, or by this sort of reflexive loathing Republicans have for Obama?
Well, I think that there's a ricochet effect in the Republican Party, but this is an initiative of AIPAC, which is the key arm of the Israeli government in Washington. So the pro-war lobby is actually the Israeli lobby. This would be, if this bill passes, it would be a bill to declare war for Israel against the wishes of the American public. And what we need to recognize is that as strong as AIPAC is, and that they do have these 15 powerful Democrats advancing a pro-war bill on behalf of the Israeli government in Washington, to that they're significantly weakened, and that they've been weakened in the past year. They were weakened by the Syria vote that never happened, which was so unpopular in Congress. AIPAC was forced to come out in support of a military attack on Syria, and the bill was so unpopular that it never came to a vote. And now they are facing another situation in which the Democratic Party is split on one of their key resolutions. The Democratic Party in Congress is being asked to come out against the Obama administration. And the Democratic grassroots is completely dead set against this bill and against going to war for Israel against Iran. I wouldn't be on this program if that wasn't the case. AIPAC's biggest nightmare is that pro-Israel support becomes Republicanized. And that's what's happening with these kind of resolutions, as they've been exposed as acting against popular opinion in the U.S. and especially against popular opinion in the Democratic Party. We now have 10 Democratic committee chairs in the Senate who are opposed to this bill, including Carl Levin and Dianne Feinstein. These are not exactly, you know, anti-Israel zealots. These are people who take hundreds of thousands of dollars from AIPAC, you know, every 6 years. And they're just recognizing that their constituents are totally against it. Well, if you look inside AIPAC and you look at who's running it, you're increasingly seeing Republican neoconservatives staffing AIPAC. You're seeing Republican neoconservatives taking the lead in the pro-Israel lobby inside the U.S. And if you look at opinion polls among Democrats and the Democratic grassroots of the U.S.'s special relationship with Israel, it's increasingly very negative. And the more educated people are, the higher of an education level they have, the more opposed they are to the special relationship. The more progressive they are, the more opposed they are to the special relationship. So we're actually seeing a crisis play out for the Israel lobby in Washington. And the more exposure this bill gets, the deeper the crisis becomes.
Let me just read quickly the list of these 15 Democratic senators who appear to be willing to risk war with Iran rather than let the White House and Iranian leaders continue with the negotiations that they've agreed upon. You've got Senate Robert Menendez of New Jersey, the bill sponsor, Senator Mark Begich of Alaska, Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey, Senator Ben Cardin of Maryland, Senator Bob Casey of Pennsylvania, Senator Chris Coons of Delaware, Senator Joe Donnelly of Indiana, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York, Senator Kay Hagan of North Carolina, Senator Mary Landrieu of Louisiana, Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Senator Mark Pryor of Arkansas, and Senator Charles Schumer of New York, and Senator Mark Warner of Virginia. So what's the chances then of that group, along with the 19 Republicans, getting a majority here? They're obviously short of a majority.
Yeah, I don't know what the chances are, but I do think that AIPAC is a little bit shocked that they've failed to gather more Democratic support for this, and that more Democrats will fall away under intense White House lobbying, because the White House has openly come out and declared that this is not a bill that they want. The White House has said that it's impossible to expect Iran to cease all nuclear enrichment. Barack Obama said, you know, I'd like to get all my bills passed by Congress, but that's impossible too. And Barack Obama said the American people are sick of this march to war, and he's right. So the White House can do a lot to prevent this vote from passing in the Senate. And, of course, you're right. There are Republicans who simply would like to undermine the Obama administration and will vote for this anyway. But the key force here is AIPAC, and it's people like Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer, who said that it makes sense to strangle the Gaza Strip economically. Chuck Schumer, who recently at an event in New York, a gathering of Orthodox Jews, declared that he would vow to defeat the Arab world and the Palestinians. He said, he used that actual language, and he railed against the Obama administration's deal. He's basically declared war against the Obama administration. Chuck Schumer, this bigoted zealot, has declared open war with the Obama administration. So we're seeing battle within the Democratic Party, and the issue will also come down to grassroots lobbying. There are groups like There are a coalition of progressive groups that have lobbied successfully for the deal between the U.S. and Iran. And these groups have a lot of power within the party and at a local level to make an impact. And I think, you know, with someone like Dianne Feinstein coming out against it, clearly they're listening to their constituents, their Democratic constituents, who are disgusted with this march to war.
Well, my understanding, though, is that this is – I don't recall this ever happening before when a country's in negotiations with a longstanding enemy, that you would be trying to scuttle the negotiations before they really get started. And for example, during the Cold War, you know, if the U.S. and the Soviet Union were ever to get together, I know there were the various Jackson-Evanick amendments and others that tried to scuttle SALT I and SALT II, but the overwhelming force of public opinion has always been that it's better to try and end these disputes, you know, and this one with Iran's gone on for, what, 33, almost 34 years. What you're telling us, Max Blumenthal, is that what AIPAC's up against and what Netanyahu's up against is American war weariness, public opinion, and in general, I imagine, you know, the American people basically are sick of wars and sick of their involvement in the Middle East, which is obviously of late been a catastrophe with Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, it's a pretty hard thing to sell that kind of war after what's just happened and what just happened with Syria as well. So I suppose in the broader sense, they're railing against the march of history here, right?
Well, and, you know, what's unique is that when the U.S. engaged in negotiations with the Soviet Union, it didn't have to send its chief negotiator to a third country to vet the negotiations before it could do so, which it recently did with Wendy Sherman, sending her to Israel to first get the approval of the foreign government of a country that's smaller than the state of New Jersey to carry out these historic negotiations. So there's no way that any of these senators or any of the people who favor this resolution, this pro-war resolution, can sell the bill in terms of American national interest. And that's the problem. You had, during the march to war on Iraq, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, and people running cover for the neocons, selling the war on Iraq under the guise of American national interest, with the idea of terror attacks on the U.S., mushroom cloud, an imminent mushroom cloud looming if we allow Saddam Hussein to stay in power. There's really no way to sell Americans on the idea that Iran presents an imminent nuclear threat to the United States. Americans really aren't buying it except among the, you know, low information realms of the Tea Party. And so that's the key problem for AIPAC. And AIPAC, as Steve Rosen, the former AIPAC staffer, said, thrives like a night flower under the cover of darkness. And when it's exposed in the light, the night flower dies. The night flower is being exposed now as the only major lobbying force pushing for a war for the interests of the right-wing government of Israel against American popular opinion and against the will of a rapidly shifting Democratic Party. So even if this resolution passes, the process by which it passed does not bode well for the Israel lobby or for the march to war with Iran. And I think there is a chance that it could be defeated, but it's going to require more grassroots pressure on Democratic senators.
Well, just in closing, Max Blumenthal, it's pretty clear that Netanyahu has contempt for President Obama. And at the time when Obama backed away from a war with Syria over them crossing the red line on chemical weapons, there was open contempt expressed by Netanyahu and some of his officials that basically Obama chickened out and didn't have the backbone, etc. But what Obama did manage to do, along with the Russians, or what Kerry did too, is to remove a real threat from Israel, which is the threat of chemical weapons on various warheads that are aimed at them from both Hezbollah and Syria. That's something that deeply concerns the Israeli public. So you've just written this book, Goliath, Life and Loathing in Greater Israel, and spent some time there, obviously, writing it. What is this? Is there any sense in the Israeli, amongst the population, that actually Obama, in spite of what their prime minister says about him, has actually managed to negotiate a deal that removes a terrible threat from Israel?
The threat to Israel, and I think, you know, the state planners and military intelligence apparatus know this, that the threat to Israel does not come from chemical weapons or little homemade rockets from Hamas. It comes from democracy. Israel is a Jewish state that's predicated on the ethnic privilege of Jews over all indigenous Palestinians. And the abrogation of Palestinian rights is central to the state's existence. And so the threat of democracy or providing equal rights to Palestinians is the greatest threat. And by hyping up the Iran threat, Netanyahu is able to distract from the Palestinian situation. And by complaining and crying and forcing Obama to play the babysitter over the Iran deal, the U.S. has to do something to mollify Netanyahu. And if you look at the details of Kerry's plan for a Palestinian quasi-state in the West Bank, which would be a series of Bantustans, you can see in it that they've taken all of the details that Israel has offered and just implemented them under the guise of a U.S. plan. They have to give Israel something. And so they've basically given Netanyahu the West Bank to mollify him over this deal. The other factor is that the majority of the Jewish Israeli public joins Netanyahu in his loathing of Barack Obama. They see Obama as potentially a crypto-Muslim anti-Semite who hates Israel, despite all that he's given to Israel. And so the majority of the Jewish Israeli public recently declared in an Israel Democracy Institute poll that they favor finding new allies in the Obama era and ending the special relationship. I think that would be a great idea, by the way. The problem is that 70% of them also say that it would be impossible to find any. But if you look at the kind of people that Israel's courting around the world, you can see an attempt to find allies who do share values with this state. For example, the Israeli ambassador recently met with the head of the neo-fascist Svoboda Party in the Ukraine, which is actually led by people who express anti-Semitic opinions. The Israeli ambassador has also met with Moti, the Indian Hindu ultranationalist who stoked deadly anti-Muslim riots, who's been denounced by the State Department, and who's expressed sympathy for Adolf Hitler. The Israeli government the Israeli Foreign Minister, Avigdor Lieberman, recently welcomed Geert Wilders, who is one of the most powerful politicians in the Netherlands and the leading Islamophobe in the world in Israel. He's visited Israel over 40 times. And then you have Israel courting the Christian Zionists in the U.S., people like Pastor John Hagee, the head of Christians United for Israel, the group that was set up by AIPAC to push for a war on Iran and to bring Israel support to its natural home in the right wing of the Republican Party. This is the same John Hagee who declared that the Antichrist was gay and partially Jewish, as was Adolf Hitler. This is an anti-Semitic figure. So well, Israel is...
This is a pretty depressing litany here, Max Blumenthal. I'm afraid we've run out of time, but I thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Max Blumenthal, who's an award-winning investigative journalist, documentary filmmaker, columnist, media commentator, and New York Times bestselling author of Republican Gomorrah, Inside the Movement That Shattered the Party. His new book just out is Goliath, Life and Loathing in Greater Israel. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about whether or not the Republicans will pay a price for cutting unemployment benefits.